Now, I talk about it a lot in adult education that it's rather sad that you and I live in a culture that has reduced myth and story to the realm of the untrue. I hear it over and over again, you know, story and myth is just simply something that's supposed to entertain us. And I've kind of, that's why I asked you the question in the beginning of Mass there. Then why are we so drawn to story and to myth? Everybody I asked had a particular story, had a particular movie that they saw was their most important, or the Monday was the most, their favorite one in their lives. Like The Lord of the Rings, like Harry Potter, like Star Wars, like Wizard of Oz. Why do I, every time I see Beauty and the Beast cry at the end of the movie, I know it's going to happen. I saw it like a million times, you know? But why every time does it somehow touch our hearts? And I think it's important that you and I begin to see important the whole point of story and myth as an important way in which you and I can understand this gospel of Jesus Christ, because as one really important author one time said, story and myth is the language of our souls. And to get in touch with our souls, story and myth is so very important to us. And Jesus used story and myth a lot to try to make sense of his kingdom, which he came to bring to all of us. One of our modern stories, really beautiful modern stories that we have today, is the story of Pinocchio, written by Carlo Collodi. Now, Walt Disney made Pinocchio into a movie in 1939. About 15 years ago or so, they put the video out about all of that. But for Carlo Collodi, the story of Pinocchio really is a journey of you and I becoming children of God, becoming children of the Father. Now, you and I, pretty much, most of us, older folks anyway, at least know the story about Pinocchio, how Geppetto, this woodcarver, very lonely woodcarver, longed to have a son. So he creates this puppet called Pinocchio. And one day, the blue fairy shows up and makes Pinocchio come to life. But he's still wooden. He's not a little boy yet. He has to go through this transformation process, where he proves himself to be brave and trustworthy and honest and selfless to become a little boy. And of course, he has a free will. He can obey Geppetto or not. And he's given a helper to help him on the journey. And the helper's name is Jiminy Cricket. You notice the J-C. Jesus Christ, Jiminy Cricket, on the whole thing. And so those who know the story and those who don't, gotta like go get the video somewhere along the way. He gets into trouble every single step along the way. The wicked fox tries to tempt him with fame and fortune. He's lured into Pleasure Island, which is supposed to make him happy, but it just makes him sad and gives him more trouble. And every adventure, he gets himself caught up and he gets sadder and sadder and more in trouble, until on Pleasure Island, he gets turned not into a little boy, he gets turned into a donkey, you know, on Pleasure Island. And so this is the defining moment in the story. And he cries out to Geppetto, you know, for help, his father for help. And all of a sudden, he wants to be a little boy. He wants to be Geppetto's little boy. And Jiminy Cricket comes along and rescues him from Pleasure Island. Jiminy Cricket takes him back to Geppetto's home, where his father is. He's finally home again, and Geppetto isn't there. Where is he? He's out looking for Pinocchio, like the father for us is always looking for all of us. And to make a very long story much, much shorter, of course, Pinocchio risks his life saving Geppetto from the big whale named Monstro. And so it isn't fame and fortune that makes him happy. It isn't pleasure that makes him happy. It's being brave It's being trustworthy. It's being honest. It's being selfless that that makes the blue fairy then transform him into a little boy. It's a great story. You should go watch it. Kids, you should all go watch the story somewhere along the way. The video is out there someplace with all that. But here you and I are, and we're pondering this call, this invitation that Jesus makes to Peter, Andrew, and James and John, and you and I are supposed to ponder today our call, God, the call that God has placed in every one of our lives. And fundamentally, at the very core of all of it, folks, is a call for you and I to identify ourselves, to know ourselves as children of God, as children of the Father. And like in the story of Pinocchio, Carlo Collodi says that when God created us, he created us as puppets. But you and I, he doesn't want us to be puppets. He wants us to be children. So you and I are supposed to go through these adventures, these challenges of life. We're supposed to live our lives, really, that somehow that's going to transform us into God's children. And like Pinocchio, we begin to realize our happiness isn't in all the other stuff. Our happiness is being children, like he's children of Geppetto, for you and I being children of the Father. And you and I have a free will. You and I can obey or disobey our Father the same way as Pinocchio. And you and I are given helpers too, like Jesus Christ, like the Holy Spirit, and our journey in all of this. There is a beautiful, beautiful line in the Second Vatican Council that says, our dignity as humans comes from the fact that we are called to have a holy communion with God. Now, this didn't make the homily because I just read this morning, but I want to share something with you that I think, or that Pope Benedict wrote in a little meditation in Magnificat here, because it says here in the Second Vatican Council, it says, our dignity as humans comes from the fact that we are called to holy communion with God. Could I say our dignity comes from having a personal relationship with God? And listen to what Pope Francis writes. He says we are only Christians if we encounter Jesus Christ. Only in this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, only in this encounter with the risen one, are we truly Christians. And you can't be truly a Christian if you're a puppet, if you're not a real flesh and blood child of the Father. It's only when you and I become flesh and blood children of the Father in a personal relationship with our Father and with Jesus Christ that you and I become Christians. You and I really become children of God. And folks, you know as well as I do, we go to church all our lives long and never have that personal relationship, that dignity of a holy communion with God who is our Father. There's an author, I think, that many of you would love to read someday. His name is Brennan Manning. And he wrote a book called Ragamuffin Gospel. And the story is about him. And he talks about it this way, about him becoming a child of the Father. He calls himself all throughout this book, finally, he says, becoming Abba's child. This is a great answer for him. This Abba, the word for father in Arabic, the word for daddy, word for father. And all through the book, he talks about his adventures and all this. And of course, he tries to find God in fame and fortune. He really tries hard to find God in pleasure. And actually, he gets turned into a donkey, or rather, actually, an alcoholic in the whole process. Same thing, I think, you know, somewhere along the way. If you're drinking, donkey, alcoholic, drinking, whatever that all is for somebody. But then all of a sudden, he begins to cry out to God for help. All of a sudden, things begin to change. He begins to realize gradually in the story that he is Abba's child. He is a child of the Father. He wrote another book called The Furious Longing of God. Not The Furious Longing for God, The Furious Longing of God. In the book, he tells the story of giving a retreat to 7,000 people. And he gives these talks throughout the day. And after the last talk, he opens things up. There's these prayer ministers, like kind of like we do, prayer ministers all over the place. And so all that night long until midnight, he's praying with people. He's talking to people, and he's exhausted, absolutely exhausted. He goes back to his room at midnight, and he just falls asleep, laying on his bed. At 3 o'clock in the morning, there's this knock on the door, and he hears, "Brennan, are you in there?" He opens the door at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there stands before him this 78-year-old sister, a religious sister. And all of a sudden, as he opens the door and she looks at him, she begins to cry. He sits her down in a chair, and they talk for a while, and she shares the story, a remarkable story of abuse when she was a child by her father. And I can't tell you the details of all that right now. It's just a little too graphic, you know, to tell you about all that right now. But the bottom line of all that is she hates her father, 78-year-old sister, and she hates herself in all of this too. And so finally they sit down at the end and they pray together. And he says at the end, "I want you to say a prayer for me every single day for the next 30 days without fail. You can say it often, all you want, but at least say it once every single day." And the prayer is this: "Abba," or "Daddy," or "Father," whatever way you want to say that. "Abba, I belong to you. Abba, I belong to you." He finishes the story by saying that she writes him a letter a month later, and the end of the letter goes like this: "A year ago, I would have signed this letter with my real name in religious life, Sister Mary Genevieve. But from now on, I'm Daddy's little girl." She risked, this story, risked like Peter and Andrew, James, and John, she risked Jesus. All of a sudden, something remarkable happened in her life. She discovered God's furious love for her. And then Brennan Manning finishes telling the story by writing, "The greatest gift I have ever received in my life in Jesus is the Abba experience," he calls it. "I can only stutter and stammer about the life-changing power of a personal relationship with God as my Father." In the gospel, Peter, James, John, Andrew discovered that. In my story of Pinocchio, Pinocchio discovered that. That sweet 78-year-old sister at the age of 78 discovered that. What about all of us as we sit here today? The greatest gift you will ever receive in your life, the greatest, nothing greater than discovering the changing power of a personal relationship with God as our Father.